What do you think of this great advice, or just advice, from Monty Python and the Search for the Holy Grail, co-directed by the late, great Terry Jones, who died this week, and Terry Gilliam? Here's the advice. Run away, run away, run away. Did you see the movie, anybody? It's been a long time. In today's reading, Jesus was going to start. He was going to call disciples. He was going to preach and teach and heal. And then his cousin got arrested. So Jesus ran away. He got out of Dodge. He left his hometown, which was near the government enforcers, and he went to Capernaum, a more remote sea village that had easier escape routes from the authorities. Of course, now we can look and say that it was wise for Jesus to start in the rural areas. It was wise for him to preach and teach and heal in the country so that he could build a following that would last after he was gone. But I think when John got arrested, Jesus thought, great, now what? My plans are ruined. I'm going to have to rearrange things and figure out a new way to do what I'm here to do. You ever get the idea that we're all either running away from something or maybe running towards something? Or, well, I guess sometimes we're just standing there wondering what to do next. That's what I felt like this morning. I don't know how to make it work. I don't even know how to shut the door right now. It's broken. Gotta figure out a new plan. Already figured out a new plan like 20 times. Another new plan. So, Jesus, wondering what to do next, ended up in Capernaum. And there he found some fishermen. Now, these were no ordinary fishermen. Wait, yes, they were. They were ordinary fishermen. Two young brothers casting a net into the sea. And Jesus came up and told them to follow him. They dropped their nets and followed him, just like that. Why would anyone drop their nets and follow anyone just like that? Can you imagine? You're doing what you do, and all of a sudden, someone comes up and says, follow me, and you're like, okay, done, bye. Well, they must have known something extraordinary was in their midst. They must have recognized Jesus as the Christ, the anointed one, the one who would change everything. No, they wouldn't. There is more to this story. Simon and Andrew were in the family business. They would have done that after no rabbi invited them to become his disciples. For a rabbi to come and choose you would have been a great honor. But Simon and Andrew weren't in the group of folks that were most likely to be chosen by the rabbi. They were the ones no rabbi would invite. They were the cast-offs. They were the rejected, but they wished they could have been called by a rabbi. And then, when one came along, they got invited to follow this rabbi. And they did what you would do when a rabbi called you. We're not rejects. A rabbi has called us. Our dreams are coming true. They dropped everything and followed him. And Jesus showed some wit as he called them. You're casting nets for fish, follow me, and we'll cast nets for catching people. And I know, if you think about it, of course, the comparison is pretty awful. Simon and Andrew wanted to catch fish and either clean them and gut them and then eat them or sell them on the market, and Jesus did not want them to do the same thing with people. But what do you want? It was a clever remark, and it was fit for the immediate context. They got it. Jesus ran away from his hometown and ran towards Capernaum and called two who had been rejected by all the other rabbis. And then he found two others, James and John. Same story, same result. Why did they follow Jesus like that? Well, they were waiting for him. They didn't know exactly who they were waiting for, but they were waiting still to be called by a rabbi. It's like your dream job, your dream opportunity presents itself, and you do it without thinking. Even that still sounds hard.
They probably had lost hope that they would be called. They'd moved on in their new direction. But of course, they still had a little bit of hope left that they who had been rejected would be chosen. This is what Jesus does. Jesus calls the rejected, the forgotten, the lost, the exploited, the powerless, and the ones no one expects to be called. That can be difficult for people who have not been rejected or forgotten or lost or exploited or powerless or who have been called. The people in society who have all the stuff feel, well, rejected when they don't get this round. So all the other young men who had been called by the rabbi might have said, why are you calling these guys when I've got a friend over here who didn't get called and he was way better than them? I mean, that's not fair. Why are you giving to them what they don't deserve? You know, what we have. Jesus told a parable one time about that kind of stuff. It was about, let's see, I think it was in a vineyard, and the owner of the vineyard hired 10 people in the morning and said, work for me and I'll give you a day's wages. And then at noon, he hired another 5. And then at 4 o'clock, an hour before closing, he hired another 5. And at the end of the day, he started to pay. And the ones who had worked an hour got a full day's wages. People who had worked half a day thought, yes, if they get a full day's wages, imagine what we get. And then they came up, and those people got a full day's wages. Well, that's not fair. And then at the end of that, them getting that, the people who had worked a full day got a full day's wages. And they're like, that's not fair. They got a full day's wage, and we got a full day's wage, and they didn't work as hard as we did. And Jesus said, what is it to you? You got what was promised to you. I promised you a full day's wage for a full day's work. That's fair. Just because they got something that, well, they got didn't get something you didn't get, they just got a full day's wage too. But that's nothing negative against you. Why are you complaining? You got it. They didn't have a guarantee of even getting hired at the end of the day. Well, it's not fair. It's not fair that people who don't have as much get the same. What? It's not fair that those 4 fishermen who didn't study and didn't do it right get to be called Jesus' disciples. What? But you're already called. Yeah, but it's not fair that they get called. I don't even want to be in the club if they're in the club. This is how the church often works. This is how people often work. If people get something that we don't think they deserved, or if someone doesn't wear the right clothes, or if someone doesn't have the right background and they haven't done it all for long enough, they don't deserve it. And then God says, come on, that's not what it's about. This isn't about status. This isn't about who's going to sit closest to Jesus on the right hand of God at the wedding feast. This is about everybody, and this is about the people who you invite to the wedding feast because none of the important people would come, and everyone's important in this. See, of course Jesus is on the side of the people with power and privilege, but not in the same way. Jesus loves everyone, but Jesus has a special place for the forgotten, for the lost, the exploited, the powerless, the ones no one expects to be called. Because Jesus is about love. And when people get all upset about movements in society that draw attention to power and privilege or rejection and exploitedness, they're usually upset because I don't want them to have what I have. Black Lives Matter is an example of that. Keeps being this, even today, and it's been a few years now, where people talk about, but don't all lives matter? Of course all lives matter. what the people who organize, it's not even an organized movement, but the people behind Black Lives Matter say is Black Lives Matter too. Stop saying that they don't. Stop living your life as if a certain group of people are less valuable than another. Stop living your life as if a certain group of people are more valuable than others. And that's where we live. So when movements that call for equality of LGBTQ folk, that call for equality of folk who have been shunned, marginalized, it doesn't mean that the people who have power and privilege have anything less. It means that people who have been shunned and marginalized now get a chance to have the same. Jesus called the ones who were rejected, and they were his disciples. So what does it mean to follow Jesus? Do you have to understand it all? Or do you have to have some kind of super belief? Or have to subscribe completely to the what we believe statements of the Jesus Club? No. I want to say that I wrote in my notes the H-E double hockey sticks word for before no. So, no. How about you have a heart that cares, that knows you matter, rich or poor, powerful or powerless, lost or found, Democrat or Republican, any color of skin, any location, any gender or gender identity, any sexual orientation, it doesn't matter what you've done with your life. Jesus calls, and as individuals, as a community, as the church, we have a couple ways to respond. One way, a la Monty Python, is run away, get away from all the people we don't like. Or maybe a better way to respond, as Simon and Andrew did, as the church, as individuals, as community, we run toward immediately. Amen.